This is Matt.
And this is Amy.
And we're inviting you into this discussion about the challenges, joys, and life lessons that come with marriage and parenting.
Join us for the ride of a lifetime.
Let's go. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us again. We're glad you're here. I've been looking forward to this episode for quite a while now.
Yes.
We've been talking about it and tried to plan it a few times, and it just hasn't happened. But here we are. And for a few weeks, we've talked about different aspects of marriage and challenges and perseverance. And we wanted to come back to the subject of parenting. Every bit as challenging as marriage, certainly very rewarding. And, you know, kids do not come with an instruction manual. Although there is a tremendous amount of helpful material out there, it can certainly be overwhelming. One of the things that I've thought about numerous times as a parent right now is that parenting is hard enough, just that relationship is challenging enough, and yet parents today are faced with a whole new element of parenting with, we're just going to refer to it as social media, but that's going to be the umbrella for phones, tablets, internet, YouTube,
apps,
all of it. We are having to learn to parent from an angle that we never experienced as children.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of how you parent, you draw from how you were raised. That can be good and bad. Mm-hmm. Thankfully for Amy and I, a lot of it was very, very good. But parenting today, you're kind of learning on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many different elements to the development of technology over the past generation that we never encountered. And so the parenting element of this is happening for the first time in real time. You know, we're just learning as we go. And so we wanted to bring in some other experts on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our four teenagers. So you guys can introduce yourselves again. You've been on before, but say hello.
A little correction. Three teenagers, one 20-year-old.
Ah, that's true.
Hi, I'm Nadine. I'm 20 years old.
I'm Elijah, and I'm 19 years old.
Jack, I am 16 years old.
Pretty funny.
I'm Elsie, and I'm 14 years old.
Thank you, Elsie. So, all of you have a phone, correct? Like a cell phone, some sort?
Yep.
And
yeah.
Even that journey has been a little bit different for each of you. We've tried, you know, it was back from the flip phones, or they would get our hand-me-downs, basically. And then, with the advent of the smartphone, as we worked through them, the kids would use them for various things. And it's just become a part of our society that you really can't avoid. As parents, you have to come up with some sort of game plan on how you want to manage this issue in your home. And for us, it's been something that we've had to constantly reevaluate. Because we have four teenagers, and then we have a 12-year-old and a 6-year-old. So that adds a whole nother dynamic when you have younger kids, because they're going to automatically think they're entitled to what the older kids have, even though they're not. So it's been interesting. Our older kids will tell you how easy our younger kids have it, and their eyes are bugging out right now. But it's I don't know if we've changed or they've changed or whatever, but so I wanted to open up to you guys. We have some questions for you and just want to have some conversation about this subject. Are you glad that you have a phone, or is that something that you find to be a valuable part of your life?
I'm glad that I got the phone at the age I was at. I was 13, 14 years old, and I really didn't even have friends at the time. like that many people like I was close with, so I wasn't really communicating with people anyway. So personally, it wouldn't have really helped me in my growth with friendships. And I probably would have just found social media and scrolled on, I don't know, YouTube most of the time, in most of my free time. I'm not saying I don't do that now, but I think it would have been a bad way for my brain to develop, myself to develop as a young kid. So I am glad that I got a cell phone at the age that I did. And if it had been later, I think it would have been fine too, but not earlier.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't even tell you when each of you got a phone officially. I know for a while you would use our old ones just to play with. And then as parents, there are elements to it that are very valuable. Like being able to text your kids or see where they are, having quick communication with them. You know, unfortunately that you really can't have those elements without allowing some of the other struggles to come into the picture as well.
I like having a phone. I think it's a helpful tool. Lots of information at any time, but that can also be a bad thing. I believe it can be used as a tool, but I also believe in too much of a good thing is a bad thing. Too much time spent on it. Especially on social media, you feel like you need to know what's going on all the time. That can be a burden sometimes for some people, but I think it's important that you set the limits for that. A way to tackle that if you have an issue with it.
Are you glad that you got the phone when you did?
I got it. How old were we? 16? When we got
it? I thought we were younger than that. You were a year younger than me, and I thought I was 14 when I first. Technically, we had flip phones first. Then we got mom's and dad's old cell phones that we used as for fun for a while, and then we got our first cell phones. I could have been 15, and you might have been 14.
That sounds about right. But, I mean, we had restrictions on the devices, which definitely helped, whether that be, like, on the internet or with the actual screen time. It helped with that as well. So I think that it can be, if approached well, I think the age we were at wasn't a bad age to get our first phone.
I think, sorry to interrupt, the restrictions that were put in place were extremely strict. Slowly that progressively changed, and we experimented a lot, but it was good the way we established it, the way our system worked.
Yeah. So it wasn't just like, here's the phone, good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How about you, Els? Or Jack, sorry, Jack's next.
I feel like my age, I mean, you guys weren't like super strict or anything about it. Like, it was like simple common sense rules. Mm-hmm. Like, have your phone when you go to bed or whatever, stuff like that. It's not healthy. Just never really did that. I really just put it downstairs, you know, or you also did do screen time as well, so. For everyone, like, it wasn't just Nadine. And I mean, I feel like if I was, like,
You did also have the track phone. Like, you
kind of. Yeah, that's true. So, honestly, I think my age was fine as well. I really don't. I think it's just the way mom did it was fine. Like, just having a screen time, like, at that age is better. Because, you mean, when you're at that age, you don't know when to stop. Mm-hmm. You know what's good for you.
How about you, Els?
I got my phone, my first real phone at, like, earlier this year, right before my birthday, I think. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I was 14. I still am 14, but I'm like about to be 15. Mm-hmm. And same thing for me. Like, I just haven't like experienced having a phone as long or like a real phone. Cause I had like a phone that couldn't download apps. And before that, I had like an iPad. So it was very different. But yeah, it was like the same thing for me, like screen time and like not having your phone like right next to your head when you're falling asleep or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And just like boundaries for yourself that are really good to have at a younger age. I think that's really good.
Yeah. I think, and you guys can share as much of your own experiences as you feel comfortable with. At one point or another, I think each of you has had a struggle with your phone. Like, there's been at least one incident with each of you where we've had to have that mom and dad conversation about, you know, the time you're spending on your phone and kind of have to lay down the law a little bit. It's interesting because all I think a few of you mentioned that it's a tool, which it definitely is, but it really is more than that because I work with tools all day long. I don't, like when I leave work, they stay there. And so there's this deeper connection to the phone that we have that I think is important to identify so that we can be honest with ourselves about how we relate to it. It is a tool, but it can easily become more than that to us if we let it. It can become all-consuming. And I just wanted to ask you guys a general question, and you can be as detailed about the things that have happened in your life as you would like to be. And I hope you do share a little bit because, number one, there's no shame in making mistakes. We all have done that. And I think it's good for people to hear that, you know, you struggled with something and you addressed it and you overcame it. So all that being said, what are some of the struggles you've had in self-regulating as you've been given more freedom? What are some of the struggles you've had with self-regulating with your phone and social media?
Okay, so this was before I actually had a cell phone, but as a kid, I was very curious. And one of the first times I was left alone with a cell phone, I unfortunately saw a bunch of things I really wish I hadn't seen as a kid. I was probably 11, 12 years old. And this was also a huge reason why I think that people should have some serious conversations with their children before leaving their cell phone with them. Tell them, like, give them reasons why. You don't need to keep secrets from them, especially if they're becoming a teenager. They're going to face it in the real world, especially if they're going to school or if they have full access to the internet. Explain to them because they're going to be curious and they're going to find out the hard way, just like I did. And it can become an addiction. I mean, being on the internet itself can be an addiction. But as you get older, because as you get older, the restrictions become less, assuming there were any at all in the first place. And if you go from a little kid, I'm just going to go with 11, 12 years old, with limited restrictions to becoming 16, 18 years old, no restrictions, you can build addictions extremely quickly, especially at that age. And I think another thing, well, for me, another thing was, and still is, I'm not going to lie, it's still a struggle, FaceTiming super late into the night. Like, to a point where I wake up and, like, I'm exhausted, I'm worn out because I FaceTimed until 1 a.m. I don't know, something like that, where it totally affects my sleep schedule. Then it affects my mood, which affects my relationship with my family, friends, etc. Definitely, that would be the top two, if I had to say, for me, were struggles, our struggles. The struggle of just having boundaries and being curious and not taking the time to really think. I mean, I was young, so, but yeah. Does that make sense?
It's just the innocent curiosity of a child, and they don't know all the things that can come in front of their eyes and that, you know, can be damaging and overwhelming to them. So yeah, the parents have to establish boundaries.
And as you get older, establish boundaries yourself. I think this both is on the parents and the kids. Yeah. As an adult and as someone who has a job and a few friends, it's extremely hard to have boundaries. It's a challenge. And it's really hard as a kid. And I'm not saying mom and dad didn't do this because I was also their first child.
Well, it was all new to all of us.
Yeah, it was all new to all of us.
So
it's definitely one of those things where you should take the time to explain to your child and explain why it is you're doing what you're doing, and yeah, and take it one day at a time, because they're still going to be curious whether you explain it to them or not, but at least you've prepared them and at least you've guided them and you're able to help them step by step.
Anyone else have struggles with self-regulating on your phone that you want to talk about?
Like a small story.
I mean, when we were younger, you were like 11.
I remember it. We were a lot younger. It was on mom's iPhone 6.
Yeah. And we were like, we came across like not online. Exactly good thing, but something that your eyes shouldn't see when you're younger. But mom came across and we told her as well, you were right there when you were on your phone. That is one thing.
It's really just the internet doesn't care if it's a 6-year-old or a 15-year-old or a 60-year-old.
It's not going to boundary you.
Yourself.
Yeah, for yourself. It's more of the parent's job, which, I mean, it wasn't your fault or anything because, I mean, it's no one's really fault. It's just, it happened. And yeah, I never really had any struggles when I had a phone, more of just like setting a boundary now. Like, I'm never wake up and go on my phone. I never go to sleep first thing I see when I'm on my phone. You know, I usually brush my teeth and all that. Like, I clear my head before I go to bed and then I go to bed. And when I wake up, I do the same thing, maybe like half an hour, 45 minutes, brush my teeth, move around or something like that. I never go straight on my phone right when I wake up. It's just not healthy. But not really any necessarily struggles.
I think I definitely struggled with the regulating screen time as a kid. Sneaking into your bed.
Yeah,
true. Mom goes up the stairs, you hide under the pillow, play asleep. Yeah. But I mean, you know, it's a cool new thing to have. But like I said, younger, it's all about regulation.
Yeah. When you're younger, you don't really think about that too much. I mean, you wake up at like 12 or whatever. Like, why are you up so late? I don't know. You know. I couldn't fall asleep, or you were just not trying to fall asleep, you know.
So
I mean, now Elijah wakes up every day at like 6. He has work, same with dad, and everyone in this call is working. So it's more of a it's kind of on you, like when you wake up. And it's not I that's one thing I struggle with, was I never really was on my phone at night, but I would always wake up bad. But it's more of just how you're getting the habit, and it's just on you. It's your
responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's important to be aware as well that the people that are putting things on the internet, like, they want viewers. They want people to click on things. They want that's what drives up their advertisement revenue. And so they're going to put out, and I'm just speaking in general terms, as enticing a headline or a picture as possible, because they want people to keep looking at it. And as you mentioned earlier, Nadine, and I noticed this even now, that the sexualization of images is just increasing and increasing and increasing. And that is a very strong force and can very easily be addictive, especially if it gets into a child's mind when they're 5, 6, 7. You know, that's happening. And it's a very evil force and can cause all kinds of damage. And it is addictive. I think the one conversation we've had with you guys as well is, I think, Jack, you mentioned like waking up at noon and being tired. Because these things are with us so often, like, you need to create that separation where your mind can rest. Your mind is not meant to be constantly taking in information. And so one thing that we talk about around our house is, if someone says they're tired, we'll say, all right, put your phone away. Because if you're tired, you need to rest. And sitting, scrolling is not resting. That's just
vegetating.
And that's a lesson for all of us, because me, like, I'm not saying that I never do that. Sometimes it you just sit down and you start scrolling and there's a funny picture or a funny video, and that, like, 5-10 minutes, nothing, you know, there's pretty innocent. But you can easily spend an hour there, which I'm sure we've all done. We're like, what in the world am I doing? And the time just goes by. You're no more rested. You wasted time. You're frustrated at yourself. And it can just become a cycle of negativity in your life.
Kelsey, did you want to share anything?
I would just say, from like my personal experience is like just comparison and how like social media, you can just look at other people and wish that was your life. But a lot of the time, a good thing to remember is that it's mainly a highlight reel and that they have lots of different things going on in their life that you never see or they don't show. So I think that I just struggle with like comparing myself to other people that have just as much as a, like they're not perfect. And it's hard to see that because all they show is the good things in my life.
Yeah, that is very true. Which brings me to my next question, and that is, would you say that social media has increased the depth of your friendships? Has it been beneficial for your friendships, or has it been detrimental, or neither? You know, not good or bad, just indifferent.
For me, it would 100% be indifferent. I don't think it's really affected my friendships in any good or negative way. It's just been completely, it's been neutral. I share reels with a bunch of my close friends. I receive reels. Usually they're humorous, they can be silly, and that really doesn't benefit my time. It's a brief moment where I can have a quick laugh or a quick chuckle, and then I'm like, oh, I'm going to send this reel because I think that they're going to chuckle at this. Like, it's not really beneficial, it's just to have a quick laugh. Occasionally, the reels can be beneficial, educational, I guess, and inspiration ideas, but really it doesn't help me grow or make me dumber or smarter. It's just neutral. But I would argue as well that there are social media accounts that can help you grow. It's just how much time are you actually spending on the things that help you grow?
I think that's a good distinction, Nadine, to make, that, you know, is it for entertainment or education?
How about you, boys?
I think I tend to stay out of a lot of, I guess you'd call it internet drama. I don't really like to be tied into that. But I honestly agree with Nadine. I really don't think it has negatively affected me at all or my friendships with anyone. Honestly, I'd say if anything, it's benefited them. Like, you know, it's just being able to stay in touch with them. But in little ways, like sending like, hey, like you think something's cool. Like I'll see a cool car. I'll send it to my friend. And I'll be like, hey, man, I thought of you. Look at this. It's cool. And I think that is a cool side of social media, but it is, you can get carried away. And I think it's important to stay on top of that. But to answer your question, I don't think it has affected me, but I have seen it affect others.
I really don't people online. That's, I find that really weird. I talk to people in life, like real life. Because you get to see the real side of somebody. Because they could be, they'd be like, ah, ha, 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 on, like, their phone. And they're not saying that at all. Like, they're straight face. Like, they're not saying that. Talking to somebody, meeting somebody in real life is way better. And I think exchanging numbers and Instagram or whatever, yada, yada, is better. It hasn't benefited me anything. I mean, I don't really talk to people online. I find it kind of weird. Because they could be a completely different person. So That's
I would say you don't talk to strangers.
Yeah, exactly. And if I don't follow anyone I don't know, or I don't have a lot of contacts, because I mean I don't give out my number, and if people do ask me for my number and I do know them, I trust them and all that, then yeah. But you know,
I had one thing. This is something that I'm not even quite sure that has been spoken to about mom and dad before. I love that Elijah and Jack brought this up because I wouldn't have remembered it. But talking to strangers online, especially young girls, in my opinion, young girls, but also young boys, there are absolute creeps out there who will stalk you, who will text you. And from personal experience, I've had strange people message me. And as an unknowing teenage girl, I message these people back. Definitely would not recommend messaging a random dude or a girl that you don't know. There are so many people out there who have no good intentions for your life. And I love that Jack said he really doesn't communicate. He really doesn't. Exchanging numbers and communicating on a phone call or just making plans to see each other in person is awesome, rather than just communicating over Snapchat, Instagram, whatever. I think it's good for parents to be aware of what they're communicating to other people, especially if it's a stranger online.
Yeah, I'm going to add on to that. So long story short, somebody DM'd me. This is when I first got Instagram. And a guy DM'd me. He's like, hey, I'd like to give you $50,000. I want $1 billion. Anyway, to free people. Yada, yada. And thank goodness, before I sent this guy any money, because I didn't have a debit card or anything. Like, I was like 13. And I was like, Dad, this guy's giving me money. And Dad's like, he's not giving you money. And he was just blocking me. He was like, I'm getting you police or whatever, block me. That was my one and only time I have ever texted back to a stranger. Because if they have like 11 followers, it's so obvious. And
yeah.
Either way, if they have 100, they're like...
Well, it's obvious to you now, but kids are just so trusting. They're so good-hearted.
Yeah, I was 13 years old. I have
such
a good heart. I kept saying, thank you so much. Thank you. They're like, yeah, no worries. And he's like, how much money do you have? I have like $17. And he's like, you give me $200. Anyway, yeah, I think it's just common sense. But when you're a kid, you really have no, you know, you don't realize how mean people can be off of just their phone, which is sad. But that's my one and only time I've learned, just don't DM people back that are like, just, they're going to be scammers. What about you, Elsie?
I would just say that a lot of the time, this has been said, but a lot of time people can say something over a social media platform, even texting, like they can say something, whether it's rude or not. Actually, well, yes, it can be very rude, but they don't, like, they can't say it to your face. So I definitely prefer like one-on-one time, quality time in person over any social media platform or anything. Like, it's just so much more memorable. Like, it's definitely more genuine. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's so good, Elsie. And it really makes me so happy to hear you guys say that. And I think, as you guys identified, like, there's a lot, there are elements to your phone and social media that can be nice, you know, where you can let a friend know that you're thinking of them right away. But as you said, you know, I think the two of you said, like, it's not really good or not really bad, meaning that, like, this is not, if you want to have deeper relationships, it's not going to come through social media. That doesn't mean that social media is by definition evil and bad and awful, but it just means that if that's your only interaction with other people, you have very shallow relationships. So you have to take the time to actually be with people and have meaningful conversation and, you know, allow them to see your facial expressions and be a little vulnerable in person.
I just need to follow up, Nadine, with that comment you made, because I'm curious, how did that end? Like, did I find out that you were talking to a stranger, or how did that
go? Okay, I honestly don't think I've ever told you this. Correct me if I'm wrong. Oh, looking back, because honestly, as a kid, I'm telling you, it went right over my head. This guy, who I found attractive on social media as a 13-year-old, I don't remember how old I was, but I had Instagram because that's how I communicated with this person. I was public, or they requested, and I accepted the request, and I accepted it because I thought he was cute. This is my memory of it. This is a very long time ago. He basically said, hey, how are you doing? The smiley face. I thought, harmless, friendly, cute guy. I will message him back. We had the conversation, and one of the comments that I'm looking back, I'm like, this guy could have, if I had continued to talk to him, goodness knows where I would have been, because this guy, like, messaged me. I was like, nothing. I can't remember. I think I was cleaning the kitchen, doing something. I don't know. But then I asked someone who was doing, he's like, I'm laying in bed half naked, LOL. Like, really creepy comments that went way over my head as a kid. His account got deleted. And I'm pretty sure it was because somebody else may have reported it or something like that. It wasn't me. Definitely, I can't believe I never told you this. I honestly forgot until just now about this. But, yeah. A lot of things that went over my head. And I'm remembering now, I'm like, that was a God thing. Because I wouldn't have...
Yeah,
I wouldn't have known. Connect,
you wouldn't have connected the dots until it'd probably be too late. Which exactly. is generally how yeah. it happens. I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to go too deep into trafficking, but that's how it happens. That's one of the many ways it can happen.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's so important for parents to have restrictions or at least be extremely observant. Like, go through their phone if you need to. Be with them. Because there's that, like, that element of the kid wants you to trust them, mm-hmm. but they feel like you're not trusting them when you take their cell phone. Like, be with them while you're going through their phone.
Yeah. What boundaries would you guys say have helped you? How about we start with Elsie this time and go up?
So I would say different things have helped me. Maybe like just plugging my phone in and taking a break and just going on Do Not Disturb. Like, if I'm doing my school, that's just what I do. And just, like, not having it right next to me when you're, like, very tempted to just look at it and see if you got a notification or something. Yeah, just having it, like, away from you and just giving yourself a break and little things like that have definitely benefited me.
I'm really not on my phone, like, at all. I never really was. I kind of found it boring sometimes. I was always outside. I still am. Boundaries, like when I wrestle or whatever. I mean, like when I'm before my match or something like that, I wrestle. I put my phone in Do Not Disturb or I just don't have it. And the same with school. I'm doing my school. It's as simple as that. I mean, if somebody ever says, why are you talking to me? Like, you gotta be respectful. I'm just doing my school. Or church, we always leave our phone in the car or at home. I don't know, just like simple things, just small boundaries are good, solid, and just little things, I think, it's just good.
What about you, Elisha?
I think putting my phone in airplane mode whenever I go to sleep.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And plug it in somewhere
where
it's not near me, so I'm not like tempted to get up and use it sometime. And that definitely helps me sleep, not like worrying about getting a notification or anything like that. I just use my alarm clock to wake up. So I think that definitely helps with the nighttime management. As far as in the morning, I really don't have any time to look at it in the morning. I'm up at like 6:30, and then I'm out of the door. I usually don't look at it until I'm at work. But yeah, I definitely have gotten down on my screen time. I deleted Instagram and some other social medias, and it definitely helped a lot. My screen time went way down. I think my daily average might be an hour and a half, honestly. Which I think is pretty good. I'm pretty proud of that.
I think one of the things that you guys have found is that as you create that space for yourself, you actually start to grow in the areas that you really want to succeed in. Like, Elijah, I mean, I've seen that in each of you, that as you've matured and created that space for yourself, not to be at the beck and call of everyone else, but to be your own person, you know, Jack, you're excelling at wrestling, and Elijah, you're hitting your fitness goals, and Nadine, you're just entering into this new job that you've been wanting for months, and you're reaching new levels of personal maturity, and Elsie, you've just become so much more confident and at peace with yourself. That's a byproduct of keeping those influences at arm's length.
One of my biggest struggles have been boundaries, especially in these past couple of years. That's definitely been something that's been difficult for me. I love to talk to people. I love to be there for people. And even with close friendships, people who I trust, it's good to have boundaries with people who you're even closest with. One of the things that I did this year, I don't have any alerts on any of my social platforms. So, like, I'm never on them because I don't have the alerts. If it's not seen, it's forgotten from me. So if I don't see the alerts come in, I don't really go on it. And I'll go on occasionally, but I left every non-professional group chat, but just to either have a time where you don't respond back to text messages, to phone calls. Mainly for me, business phone calls was really difficult past a certain time because of previous jobs I've had. Some people don't have boundaries. And when people are giving you phone calls at 10 p.m. and you're basically on call, but you're not being paid to be on call, having the boundary of having your phone turned off on do not disturb, on airplane mode, whatever it is, and just not responding to a simple phone call or text.
Yeah, I want to add that a lot of the time, something I definitely learned, like you said, being on the phone or like later is very like I realized that it's not beneficial. Like they're still going to be there the next day and you can talk to them, or the next time you see them in person, you can still talk. But if it's always past a certain time, like when your emotions are higher or just like when you're just not thinking as much, it's really not beneficial. And in the moment, you don't realize that, but I think I've definitely learned more and like learned that it doesn't do anything but makes you almost like regret it the next day. Not always, but it's definitely just something you have to think about and something that I've personally learned.
That's really good, Elsie. That's excellent advice.
Yeah, you would be amazed on how much changes. Like, if you write a text out and you sleep on it and you don't respond, say, at 10 p.m., for example, and how much your emotions change and you look back at that text mm-hmm. that you want to send to somebody, whether it be professionally or personally, you wake up the next day and be like, wow, I was about to send that. Because whatever you send out is there forever.
What advice would you guys give to a parent who's struggling with a child who's always on their phone?
I would say get them a flip phone. Get them the garbage disposable phone. The one you can buy for $5 at Dollar General. That phone.
Yeah, when I'm older, if I really don't need anything, I'm doing that because... Yeah.
I have thought about getting a flip phone at some times. And uh-huh. just like, because I don't think I would, because I do enjoy things like FaceTime. Yeah. And I think those would help, like, fun.
The thing is, you can do all that on a flip phone. You can just call them if you need to call them. And if you, hey, you call them when you want to hang out. You said it's simple as that.
Yeah.
I don't know. You got no worries.
Yeah. All you need, a phone is for contact. That's what it's for. It's been turned into a tool,
yeah.
something else. But what it is meant for is contact. And I think at a younger age, if I'm being honest, if I had to choose an age for my child, they'd probably get between 15 and 16.
Yeah. Be on your toes. Be on your guard. Like, I mean, remember how old you were. You want to do all this. Like, you want to figure things out on your own.
Exactly.
They're not going to, a lot of the time, they're not going to come to you like, hey, look what I found. Like, they're going to be scared. Like, probably going to be nervous. Like, is this okay to show them or tell them I found? It's just.
Was there ever a time that you guys have felt annoyed that we would flip through your phone and your messages but maybe deep down inside kind of relieved at the same time? Or, like, tell me how that felt.
Personally, because of the things that I struggled with, I was more afraid of being caught. Like, looking back in that time frame, for me, it was definitely a struggle. I didn't like it when you did it. Also, I think outside of that, when everything was fine, if you would ever take our phone just to go through it, like, it got to a point where I didn't really care, personally. Like, it's just one of those things where, yeah, relief? I wouldn't say relief, but I would say definitely a sense of they can trust me. But also building up that trust and being guided to do the things that I should and shouldn't do, and been really just building up trust with each other, because trust goes both ways, I think.
There's a lot of things when I was younger I was not very responsible, but leading up to where I am now, big difference, but there's a lot of things, you know, just living and learning. But mom and dad have helped me a lot with that, just being responsible, respectful, just mutual trust is just strong. I don't know. I think it's just a big thing. It's just mutual trust, you know. You can't be scared of your parents. I mean, that's just not, you shouldn't be scared of them. It's not, they're just there to help, to guide you. And yeah,
I think that's what I value most about our relationship is that I feel very open with you guys. Mm-hmm. Like if something was bothering me, I could talk to you about it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be afraid to tell you.
Yeah, I don't hide things. Like I don't see, I mean, there, yeah, when you're a kid, yeah, it makes total sense to hide something, but you know, right now I don't, you're there to help. I know that. Like, I know that now. Like, it's just.
Took 16 years.
No, it took a little bit, but.
I remember Jack asking you for your phone a few times and you get so mad at me. And I don't know. I think there was a little while there where you were afraid that I would, you know, we would see you were texting at 2 a.m. or whatever. And we had to deal with that and work through that together. And I think there are two parts to that. One is like in the parent-child relationship, you have to be completely honest with each other. And I think you, Jack, it was helpful for you to experience and not only hear that we really want what's best for you. Like, it's kind of like that cliche saying that all parents say, but when a kid messes up, you know, it wasn't like we were like, why are you so stupid? How could you do that? Like, no, you can't tell a kid, I really want to help you. And then when they mess up, you rip them to shreds. Because then that makes them even more scared to tell you the truth. Because they're just living out of fear. And so I think part of that trust building was when you did make mistakes, it was like, all right, we love you. And if this ever happens again, that's not going to change our relationship. Like, we're still going to love you. But it's really important that you tell us so we can deal with it, so we can work together. So there's that trust building goes both ways in that sense that the parents are not crushing their children when they make mistakes, but also that the parents are living out the values that they're telling their children to live. And that's not something we do perfectly, but that's something we strive to do. And I've caught myself sometimes too, where I'll come home from work and I'll just plop down on my bed and I'm watching a wrestling video or something. And one of you guys walk by down the hallway and I'm like, oh, I feel so guilty. Like, I don't want you to see me doing that, because not that I was doing anything like wrong, but I don't want to just say, do as I say and not as I do. Like, I want to be a good example. So that, you know, that's, I think, the building of the trust that you were talking about, that the parents really have to operate with grace and forgiveness and not crush their child's spirit when they do mess up, because they're going to mess up. That the household has to be filled with grace so that kids know they're going to be loved no matter what. And then the parents have to be living out in some reasonably consistent manner the values they're expecting of their children.
I think one thing that I'm very grateful for is that, like, we can mess up and, like, mom and dad, you never bring up the mess ups that we do. And, like, if we mess up and you'll, like, go over, like, how that was a mistake and how, even though we mess up, you don't make us feel like trash. Like, and you don't bring up every single mess up we've ever done. Like, we learn from it and we move on and we don't do it again. And I've definitely learned that there's different things. Like, a lot of the time, especially for my age, like just becoming a teenager, and then also like Jack's age, like You're in the middle of being a teenager. Lots of things that you think will make you look cooler, like saying words or doing things. It's sad how people have made it seem like it looks cool, but in reality, it just breaks you. And I've just learned that it's so much better to step away from that and just like, and back to like being on your phone at late. Like if you have a friend that always wants to talk at like midnight to who knows what time, then, and they don't want to talk at like any other time, then that's just not a true friend. Yeah, like if you're always putting in your time for them and they're never putting in their time for you or respecting your boundaries, then you just need to let go. And you won't even realize how much that benefits you until you do it.
Those are some very wise words, Elsie, that someone who does not respect your boundaries is not a true friend. It's very, very, that's a deep thing for people to contemplate. Glad you said that.
What Elsie just said sounded like something I'd see on Pinterest.
Like a wooden sign with black letters. So obviously we can't change the era that we live in. Phones and social media are a part of our lives. And we have to navigate that by staying as true to our values as possible. But I was wondering what you guys thought. You mentioned a few different things. Do you think your generation has missed out on anything?
Yes, literally so much.
Our generation, okay, jump right in, Jack. Go for it, bud.
Our generation is this, no offense to any, okay, take offense actually, honestly. Our generation has been the slowest, it boggles my mind sometimes to think of like the things I did. Like, were you even enjoying, how do you make friends when you were homeschooled? That's the most common. How do you have friends? Like, that's the most common question I get. It's so interacting. It's not that hard. I started working with that when I was 10. I learned how to talk to adults when I was 10 years old. Like, it's simple as that. And anyone can do it. It's just talking to normal people. And when people talk to people nowadays, like our age, they're looking straight down or they're at their, like, looking at their phone. It's as simple as that. They're just looking at their phone. It's sad. But yes, our generation has missed out. For instance, when we did our road trip, I mean, if anyone is listening that does not know this, we went around the United States. A lot of the states we went to, an adventure, learning, seeing new things. You know, people don't ever get to do that. They sit in a classroom for what, 8 hours, 6 hours a day, and get home and sleep or just do not do anything, because why would you? You're already drained from school. I can completely understand. Makes complete sense, because they're pretty much, it's like working a 9-to-5 job, but like forced. Like you have a choice and you don't make any money doing it. So yeah, I think our generation has 100% missed out on a lot. We can't even put it into words.
Yeah, that was almost exactly what I was going to say. And I feel like maturing is realizing that you don't need to go to school to socialize. And that, like Jack said, the biggest question that I will get or that I have gotten is like, literally, how do you have friends? Or like, what do you do with your life? I'm like, that's kind of a broad question, because my life could be so interesting, but in their mind, life is going to school, like waking up, going to school, coming home, going to sleep, homework. They can barely get a job until they're like 18, like 17, 18, because school occupies them so much. Yeah, and also, like, you get made fun of for what kind of phone you have. And I think the biggest thing when I was younger was, like, getting made fun of having a phone, like, or for not having a phone, was, and, like, you would feel embarrassed because you don't have a small device in your hands. Or a small device to just constantly look at. But looking back, that was probably the dumbest thing to be embarrassed about. And I just hate how it's normalized to just look down all the time in your school, and you're walking in the hallways. You don't look at people's faces. I think that's the biggest thing, is just like looking into somebody's eyes. Like, you just the eye contact is not there. And I've noticed that so much. And people just get so awkward because they don't know how to talk to people because they're so used to just using their fingers. And it's just, it's sad. But I would just say that the biggest thing is like, wow, I get those questions a lot as well. Like me and Jack, like we're all homeschooled. And I just think it's so funny. Like you can have a life when you're homeschooled. And like you said, like it's so cool to do all these fun things when you're homeschooled because you have free time. And with that free time, you can't exactly do whatever you want. Like that's what I feel like that's what they think. Like he said, we went around the United States and you can go to these co-ops and you can explore the world. And if you really wanted to, like we went to Honduras as well, like the fact that that stuff counts as school is just, it's something I'm really grateful for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one thing when mom, when we were watching like a movie or something like Rad, favorite movie, when we're like in the school, I mean, you can tell nowadays, why are their backs so messed up or their neck by looking down? It's just by them having that hunch in their back or like always their neck is always down. My point is when we used to watch like those movies from like 90s or 80s, nobody had a phone, obviously. Heads are straight up. Everyone's smile. It's just what I asked great grandma. I was like, what are the 80s like? She just said happy, just happy. It was brought a tear to my eye. It's just sad to just think about that. You know, it's just I wish a lot of kids could just wake up and realize that, you know, you got to be a kid. Like you got to, like you're talking to people behind the phone. Like you just go outside. Honestly, just get some grass in between your toenails. Like, come on.
It's not that hard.
Homeschooling is the solution, everybody. No.
Well, that's not what this episode is about.
We'll have you back for that.
Yeah, we've enjoyed homeschooling for a lot of different reasons, but yeah, keep going about what has your generation missed because they're inundated with social media and phones and all that.
I think our generation really just thinks that the only way to make friends is over social media. The only way to communicate with people is over social media. The cool thing nowadays is just to punch over and type, text, post, all that stuff.
Yeah, people just exist in this little bubble. And it drives me crazy when people just walk around with earbuds on and, you know, staring at their phone. It's just the most meaningful experiences in our life come through human interaction. And we just keep distancing ourselves from that fulfilling reality. So much so that I think that that's a big contributor to all of the anxiety and personal insecurity that so many kids are experiencing today. There's no affirmation and security and peace that they should be experiencing in these human interactions and relationships. They're just not there.
That is so, that right there, what you said about people having the most anxiety or stress is literally that. It's, I mean, sure, sometimes it cannot be like you're having your anxiety sometimes will not be social media, but I guarantee you it is one of those reasons because you are so caught up in what people are thinking about you and it's all in your head. Because I overthink a lot sometimes, the smallest things, sometimes I really can't help it a lot. When you have a choice to knock out that anxiety, there's a reason, you know what the reason is, and you don't do anything to do about it. And you make an excuse because of it is just really dumb and irresponsible because you have a reason and you know how to take care of it and take action of it, but you don't. It's just, it's really, and you gave yourself that anxiety and you gave yourself the reason of that stress. You're giving it every single day. And you're saying, oh, I don't want to lose my friends. Like your friends, they're your friends. They'll understand completely that that's a good reason. Like, I understand it completely. Like, you need to get some friends like that. Like that is really good because that is guaranteed one of the reasons that people have so much anxiety and depression and so they are so self-conscious of what people think and what people first see of you. It's just that. So.
Yeah, I agree, Jack. Elijah, do you want to comment about what your generation has missed?
I think you guys really finished it up. You guys really left no crumbs to say. I think I do agree with Jack. Like, we do keep going back to homeschooling. I definitely think that not being distracted constantly helped me learn more. And be a kid. Like Jack said, be a kid. You have years to be a child and not to worry about what's happening here or there, what's happening to this celebrity or what's happening in this country. You don't have to worry about that. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to be growing, not worrying. Yeah. And I think getting a phone at such a young age can hinder that dramatically. I think our generation is definitely solid proof of that.
I know, like, about my generation, obviously, because I'm in it, but I'm mostly scared about the next one. That's what I'm worried about mostly, because I know there's enough hope, enough growth to smack some sense into people that are my age and my generation. But it's the next one I'm the worried about. Just the next couple like years of kids coming in. It's just kind of, that's what I'm mostly nervous about. But like Elijah said, picked up all the crumbs and pieces. We're pretty set.
Yeah, I think part of it as well, Jack, is people like you guys just being a good example and encouraging your friends and being the type of person who says, let's go for a hike or let's go ride bikes or what you guys do. And I'm just saying, like, to keep doing that. We're super proud of you guys. And there have been, you know, we've butt heads along the way a little bit, as we talked about, and it's been a learning experience. But it's super exciting to me, not even the phone issue, but for you to see you guys really capture the value of your life and of living your life and experiencing all that God has for you, that's what's really exciting. So I think as you grow in these things with your child, the conversation becomes less and less about the phone and more about opportunity in their life. So keep doing a great job, guys. We are super proud of you, and thank you so much for joining us tonight.
We love you.
Ladies, skaters,
honor to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah, we love you too.
All right. Love
you. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Well, those were some good words of wisdom, Amy.
Yeah. Wow. I think we need to have them on more often.
Yeah, right. Just hand it off. They can take over.
I mean, I do want to say that I think we've mentioned this before. We don't have a good stigma towards teenagers
in our culture.
In this culture. Yeah. And we're here to change that. And we're here to speak truth that teenagers are awesome. Yeah. And they have so much wisdom. And they are living in this generation that no one else has grown up in before. And they're the generation, like Jack was mentioning at the end there, they're the generation that's going to be raising children in the same generation that they were raised. Right. Like, we weren't in that generation, right, and they are. And so what an incredible burden that is for them.
And opportunity.
And opportunity, exactly, however you want to look at it. And I think that if we can instill in our children that it is an opportunity and not this horrendous thing to fear, because it just is. It's there, whether you like it or not. And give them the tools to work through that instead of hiding them away from it.
Yeah. Keep growing the value. Yeah. Keep growing the good. Keep emphasizing the righteous, the pure, the holy, the uplifting. Highlight those things. Celebrate those things.
And allow them to speak into your life.
Yeah.
Asking them, hey, do I spend too much time on my phone?
Yeah.
What do you feel when you see me on my phone? Or even just communicating. Sometimes we've had to do this. We were just like, for the next hour, I'm on my phone, but this is what I need to be doing on my phone. Yeah. And just having the open communication about what you're doing and is really valuable, I think.
I agree. So don't be afraid to be a little countercultural and stand for your values. We really appreciate your time. God bless.
Thank you so much for listening. Please hit subscribe and leave a review so others can find us. We appreciate you.